This is Jan Rosenberg, Florida Folk Life Programs, and I'm sitting here with Ralph Dupree of Esto, Florida, and we are here as a part of the Forest Industries Product Survey to talk about Mr. Dupree's work as a barrel maker, which we will talk about, and also oral history of timbering and turpentining in this area of Holmes County, Florida. On.
Okay. Now, Mr. Dupree, you were born in Esto?
Yeah, I'll start off with that then.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I was born in, I'm Ralph Dupree. I was born and reared in Esto, Florida here, Holmes County. And my dad was a turpentine distiller and a barrel maker. Mm-hmm. I learned to make barrels at the age of 12 years of age. And I made barrels until I was 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And after I became 21 years old, a turpentine
went out. You
were born
in 1924, correct?
1912.
Oh, 1912.
I was born in 1912.
Sorry. Okay. When your father was the one who taught you how to make the barrels?
My father taught me how to make barrels.
What were some of the things that he taught you to do? Say, for example, when I see a barrel, okay, basically what I see is a pile of wood that's been made into hoops, and these hoops are put together somehow in order to make this barrel. What did your father teach you to do, and how did he teach you to do it?
The way he taught me to make barrels, I started at 12 years of age, mm-hmm. making them. And I made them until I was 21 years of age. Mm-hmm. But the way he taught me, we had the mechanism of making a barrel. You have two types of hoops, two wooden hoops. And the first wooden hoop, to my best recollection, was number 26, they call it.
Why was it called number 26?
They was purchased at West Florida Naval Store Company at Pensacola, Florida in those days.
What naval company? I'm sorry.
West Florida Naval Store Company in Pensacola, Florida, where they was purchased, these tools to make the barrel.
Okay, good.
Now, I was taught, and I learned to make them, and I became a professional barrel maker. I made rosin barrels, mm-hmm. R-O-S-I-N, mm-hmm. and I made syrup barrels, mm-hmm. and turpentine barrels.
How do you make a barrel?
The way you make a barrel, you take that first hoop, that 26-inch hoop, mm-hmm. and we have a stave that's 30 inches long, and it usually took about 20 or 21 of them, the width, the word, I just remember the width, but I do remember the length. And took about 20 or 21 to make this barrel. And you set it up first in that wooden hoop. And then you put another wooden hoop over that one. And then you have a set of chimers, I call it. And the first chime, you chime out.
Chiner or
chime? Chime,
C-H-I-M.
M. C-H-I-M-E, that's right. And you chime it out to cut a groove in the top of those wooden stays, we call it, so the head can be fitted in the barrel. Then, after you cut that with the chimers, I would say the chimers cut about 1/4 of an inch chime.
A fourth of an inch?
No. about a half inch chine. And then after we cut the half inch chine, we take a compass and we put that compass in the chine that we cut and we step it around. It's made in the shape of an A. And it will make a round circle, but you step it around in that barrel 7 times, and then you have a set screw on the compass to eliminate the size. And after you eliminate the size...
To eliminate it? To get rid of it?
Listen now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
After you eliminate the size with the compass, okay, then you take 2 1-inch thick boards, about 36 inches wide. Take 2 of them. And they are straight edged, and you butt the edges together so you'll have 2 pieces of the head you're gonna put in the barrel. And then you take the compass and put in the middle and make a round circle. That's pi, they call it, ain't it? After you make the circle, you take the head, the 2-inch boards, and you put them on a chop block, and you cut them out with a short handle axe, wood axe. After you cut both pieces out, you take what we call a staple holder and put them in the chine that you measured with the compass. Then you tighten the wooden hoop on them. And after you tighten the wooden hoop on them, they become to be watertight. Then you take some hoop iron. Hoop iron is... approximately 1 inch wide.
1/8 of an inch.
You know what I'm talking about,
yes,
hoop iron.
Yeah. Hoop iron. Okay.
Then you measure it around the top of the wooden barrel to start it. And after you measure it, you take it to an anvil and you have a Cooper hammer. You break the hoop iron. You take a rivet and place the hoop iron on an anvil that have a hole in the anvil for the rivet, when you hit it with the hammer, to purse through. You set the rivet on the hoop and take the Cooper hammer and hit it, and it goes in a hole in the anvil. Then you take both pieces of the hoop and put them together. Then you take the Cooper hammer and brad the rivet you put in. That's a complete hoop. After you do that, you knock the wooden hoop off. And then you make another hoop to go below that hoop, about 6 inches below that hoop. Then you'd go with the same process you did the first hoop. And then you take a driver, they call it. It's a little instrument. It's a little steel instrument that has a round groove in the bottom of it. And then you take that hammer and hammer that hook on tight with that hook driver, we call it.
Hoop driver, okay.
Hoop driver.
And then you drive the hoops with that. Okay.
Then drive that hoop down.
Mm-hmm. What is that it?
No. You turn that barrel right upside down because the bottom side of it is not together. And you put it in a vise. Then after you put it in the vise, you draw it up. You put a wire cable around the top of it. Then you start your process of what we call tighten it up. And you tighten it up at that end, it will equal the same thing at the other end, equal when you first made the first hoop, when you made the first head, we call it. They call that a head to go in a barrel. And then after you do that, you take your chimers after you have put that metal hoop on the other end of that barrel after you have drawn it up. You take that metal hoop and put on top of that and release it out the vise. Then you take another hoop 6 inches below that one. That barrel has a bevel in it. Like you see barrels have bevel in them. They're larger in the middle than they are at each end. And then after you do that, that barrel is what we call completed. It will hold water. It's watertight. And We made syrup barrels, too, out of that. And the timber you make it out is pine timber or cypress. And that is the completion of making a barrel.
Now, do you stain the barrel when it's done?
Yeah, here you stand it. It's standing up then.
You when stain you, it?
Yeah,
you stain it with any color?
Oh, well, no. The companies that you sell them to, they stain it with color, but some companies requires a mahogany color on it, and others different varieties of colors.
Mm-hmm.
But when we use them for syrup barrels and rosin barrels, they did not paint them over.
Is that because they were being used for food consumption?
For rosin.
Yeah.
And that's right.
Right.
So that's the way that I learned,
mm-hmm.
that I was taught to make barrels.
And that's how your father taught you? You just step by step by step, watch me, and then you just did it?
Okay.
Yeah?
That's the way. Mm-hmm. I watched my father.
Okay.
Now, and
why did you stop making barrels? Why did you stop when you were 20?
Well, the turpentine ran out in this part of the country then.
Mm-hmm.
Turpentine still ran out in this part of the country then. And that's when they used to manufacture it at these places, what we call a turpentine still. You manufactured it then. But they stopped manufacturing it locally, and they went to manufacturing it at the big factories. One manufacturing company was West Florida Naval Store Company, Pensacola, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another one over at Cairo, Georgia.
Okay.
And you just put it in barrels and haul it to these factories where they process it and steal it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you process it and steal it, that raw gum out the tree, you get what we call a spirits of turpentine out of it.
Uh-huh.
And after you have cooked it about 3 hours, all the spirits of turpentine comes out, And then they put it in barrels when it's hot. Mm-hmm. And you call that rosin. That's the byproduct off of this raw turpentine.
Oh,
it's rosin.
All right. Okay.
And then rosin is used for lots of different things. Rosin is used for painting and varnish. And when it gets cold, it's just as hard and firm then as a brick.
Really? Yeah. You can use it on violins.
That's right. Say, yeah. And they use it on violins a whole lot. Lots. Hmm. So,
I was wondering, could you draw me a barrel?
Draw one?
Yeah.
I think I can.
Here. Why don't you draw me the barrel and let's name the parts?
All right.
Do sort of like an anatomy of the barrel.
All right. I'll draw you a barrel.
Okay.
I think I can draw one. Oh, you might beat me drawing.
Okay, I'm going to turn off the tape right now. No, in fact, I'm not going to turn off the tape.
Let me see here.
Make it sound different, yeah?
Oh, yeah? You could actually play the
game. Yeah, musical. He may know. He can play it, yeah.
Yeah.
We could go down and watch him one other morning. Smoke it. Don't knock no one down.
If you would tell him, I've just turned the tape recorder back on. If there are some of the things about, that you remember about the turpentine and the kinds of things that they did, maybe kinds of things that people even did for their jobs, but also did for entertainment.
Well, I tell you, you got the tape recorder.
Yes, sir.
Well, the first thing you do is pine timber. You go out with a apron axe, they call it. Apron axe. And and you let a man hold an apron axe about 2 inches from the root of the tree, 2 inches up. Mm-hmm. Then a man takes a maul and hits it with that maul, that axe. And then he has a metal apron, I would say about the thickness would be about 0.26, you call it. The thickness would be that's
right. Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Medicine.
And that apron, I would say about 24 inches long, something like that. Then when you pull the axe out that tree, you put the apron right on top of the axe and slip it in the hole that you put in there with that apron axe. Mm-hmm. And then the tree closes down on it. And when the tree closes down on it, you take a 10-penny nail and a metal cup. It's a square metal cup like this, see? Go across that under the apron. Under the apron. And, okay. After you drive that nail about, I'd say 4 inches below that apron, you take that cup, that metal cup, and put it between the apron and on top of the nail, and it will stay there. Then you take a hack mm-hmm. is a thing you cut those trenches. A hack it's a beveling thing, like it's half round and it's open on one end, and you cut across that tree with that axe like that, and you see here, you come on this side of the tree and cut to the middle. you come on this side of the tree and cut to the middle with the hack. And they call that the first streak on the tree.
First streak.
First streak on the tree. And then you streak them once a week.
Is that?
And three streaks will supply enough turpentine that runs out that tree every time you streak it. It will supply enough to fill that cup. That cup is about, I would say that cup would be about 3 inches deep.
Probably hold a quart or more.
Yeah, probably hold a quart. And you've got a crew of men we call dippers. They have a 5-gallon can and a metal paddle, flat paddle. They take the cup off, see, and put the paddle in the cup and
scrape
the turpentine out the cup into the 5-gallon bucket until they get it full.
Ain't nothing went wrong.
No. Until they get it full. Then, after they fill that 5-gallon bucket, they go to the barrel then, 55-gallon barrels, and they pour it in the barrel until they get the barrel full. Now, that's the process of getting it out the tree.
Okay. Let me ask you this just to make sure I got it right. You cut into the tree on one side, right, and that's where you got the cup and all of
this
that.
This way. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And then when you do the streaking, basically what you're doing is pushing the tree in on itself so it actually starts to leak more.
You gap the tree like this. See? Here's the 10. I said my wristwatch here's the 10.
Okay.
And here's the tree. You come in here with your hack, and you cut this way toward the middle of the tree.
V-shaped cut.
All right. Then you come on this side over here and streak the tree to call it that in a V-shaped cut. And see, the next time you go in there, you call it chipping boxes. The next time you go in and chip, you chip right on top of that other, the first streak. You know, the first streak we call it, we chip on top of that.
Okay.
And we chip on top of that streak. And three streaks fills a cup. That's the process of getting it out the tree.
Okay, I get you now. So basically it really is a matter of pushing it.
That's right. That's right. That's the process of getting the turpentine gum out the tree.
About a day must have been really long doing that, huh?
Well, 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks would fill the cup.
Okay. Now what happens to the tree after that? Is the tree dead?
No. They sawmill the tree after that.
Oh, okay.
They go way on up the tree, and when you stop chipping it with a hack, you start with a puller. And that puller makes the same streak on the tree that a hack do until you get up about a little above head high. And then the sawmill comes along then, or the pulpwood people. The sawmill in my days came along there and cut that tree. After you see, you've used up the turpentine out the tree.
Right.
And the sawmill comes along then and saw the logs, carry them to the sawmill, make all kind of lumber out of the tree. Just as they do now.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So basically, you really, it's like the pig, isn't it, where you use everything except for the squeal?
That's right.
I don't know what it is. Cat face is real hard, Ralph.
Some of them sold meal to cat face. Some
they
of them
call it cat face, what them streaks has got
out. Oh, really? They call it a cat? Sure, it looks like a cat.
Well,
can I ask your name, sir?
Lawrence Williams.
Lawrence Williams? Okay, thanks. Huh. Okay, and they call it, because it looks like a cat face, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it looks
like a cat face.
That's real down if you want some lightwood splinters to start fire, that's it.
Right. Now, did they have any names for, any special names for the tools as well? You know, they call a hack a hack. Did they have a nickname for it or anything like that that you know of? For the hack or for the apron or anything like
no,
that?
No, no, no. The hacks and aprons hack, and pullers.
That's what they called them.
Hack is for you, and your puller, you got a longer handle on your puller. They reach way up the tree in that.
Yeah.
The new thing is acid.
Acid?
The new thing.
They just burn the tree out.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Gosh. Now, who were the turpentiners and who were the
I can tell you who they were.
Mostly white, black?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you who they were. His uncle.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, his uncle, and his name was Bose Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He would name him J.A., but they call him B.O.S.E., Bose Williams.
Bose, really? Huh. Okay.
So, I'd say J.A. Williams or Bose Williams.
Okay. Huh. So basically there were whites and blacks doing it together.
That's right. Okay. That was the owner of the Turpentine Steel, Bose Williams.
Oh, really? So your uncle owned it? Oh.
And then after he passed away, while then the Morrises come here and took over.
Uh-huh.
So,
and that was another, now were the work ever divided among black and white? Like, say, were there turpentiners?
The blacks were the laborers.
Okay.
And my daddy was a black man. He stilled and made barrels.
Okay, he distilled.
Stilled and made barrels.
Mm-hmm. Huh, neat.
That's processing what comes out of the gum, you know,
right.
Still in it.
Right. Okay. What kinds of things do people do for entertainment around here after a pretty long day at turpentining? It would seem you'd be pretty tired.
During the sawmill was here, we had I don't know how many black people lived down there. They had a church down here.
Yeah.
I was the only one left, but there were several that lived around here then.
Mm-hmm. And was there entertainment at all? Like, did people there dances or frolics?
They had frolics, they call it.
Square dances.
Okay, so that's something.
They had a street right now, we call them Beach Five. They had a square dance on Saturday night. Sometimes they got a little rowdy, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they got a little rowdy.
Did people distill more than turpentine?
No, they just distilled turpentine on that still.
Well, yeah, there was some.
There's people
running. They distilled a little rum, I think. But
okay.
When the kettle was brand new.
Right. Oh, really?
They'd run. We had a fella named Joe Kelly over here at Noma. My dad was stealing for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they had what you call a turpentine quarters over there on the other side of Noma. And
Norman?
N-O-M-A.
Norma.
And
here about it over there at
Palm Springs settlement. But the kettles come from Pensacola. Copper kettles.
Okay, right. You need a copper.
And then he had a charge, you call it charging when you put the gum in or whatever you're gonna put in there, you call it a charge. And you put a cap on it, and there's seven coils of a copper pipe in about a 4,000-gallon tank. And up to the top, I imagine it's about a foot when turpentine first starts running out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the seventh coil, I would say about 4 inches, wouldn't you? The seventh coil is where it comes out down there. And when it leaves the steel kettle, his steam, it evaporates down through that tank of water. And the tank of water is cold. And when the steam leaves the kettle, it goes down this worm, we call it a worm then,
uh-huh.
A copper worm.
Mm-hmm.
And when it get down to the bottom, it wasn't nothing but spirits of turpentine and water. But they will not mix.
Mm-hmm.
the water would go to the bottom of the glass, and the turpentine would be on top. And you run it about an hour and a half, and that cooks all the water out your gum you put in there. And then we have a thing up there in the cap you call a cap funnel. A cap funnel.
Funnel?
Yeah, yeah.
F-O-R-N-E-R?
Funnel.
Funnel.
Yeah, funnel.
Sorry.
Well, see, after you cook all the water out, the raw gum, then
okay, you get the charge set.
Okay, now, then it's a third off. It's a third being cooked out.
Okay.
Then the next two-thirds, mm-hmm. when you turn the water to it, the next third is turpentine and water. And then the water is about an inch deep, and a pint glass we use to tell what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And when the charge cooks off in two more hours, the turpentine gets less and less and less until it comes clear up to the top of the glass container you're using to catch it out there to sample it to see what it's doing. Mm-hmm. And when the charge cooks off, you don't have nothing coming out there but water, just a skim of turpentine and water. Mm-hmm. And then you know you have all the spirits of turpentine out of the gum.
Mm-hmm.
And the gum turns to rosin after you cook all the water and spirits out. It the gum turns to rosin. You turn the rosin out in a big vat, and some of these stills had what you call a process that run it out at the vat and the barrel and fill them up, 55-gallon barrels. Mm-hmm. And the charge would make six barrels of rosin, approximately six barrels,
wow.
after it's cooked
yeah,
out. But now you cook that out in what you call a 25-barrel kettle.
25-barrel kettle.
Steel kettle, they call it. And that's the end of the process, end of the gum after it comes out the tree,
mm-hmm.
is when you cook it out like that. That's it. That's the end
and
of
after
it then.
That, you got turpentine.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Mr. Bo's William owned the place, mm-hmm. they had a tank car on the railroad track that they would fill up, and that they would ship it to the biggest soap company in the United States. I reckon that was Procter & Gamble.
Okay.
They'd ship it to them.
Huh, and they'd use soap?
That's right, and they'd make soap and other byproducts out of that spirits of turpentine.
Oh, okay.
And also medicine.
Huh, what kind of medicine?
You can buy it at drugstores now. Turpentine, they call it spirits.
Right.
They call it
okay.
spirits then. Spirits off turpentine.
Right, okay.
So that's the last of the processing of it.
And tell them what the draw fit. Tell them what the draw fit, right?
Now, the chips, the byproducts that they cook in it, you know,
mm-hmm.
they call that draws.
D-R-O, okay, draws, yeah.
Draws.
Mm-hmm.
And the draw, you skim the draw off of the rosin before you turn it out. The rosin is hot. It's just like water when it comes out.
Really?
That's right.
Wow.
But the draw is a waste, you call it, you know.
Yeah, right.
And people used to use it to make fires with, you know.
Kindling.
It'll burn just like gasoline.
No kidding.
Yeah, it'll burn just like gasoline.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's what you can do with that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me, I'm going to end the taping right at this
okay.
point.